Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of January 20th, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Glad to have you with us. So, D.R., down in Washington, the, I don't know if it's a circus or a carnival or a merry-go-round or a whatever it is, but the cabinet nominations of the new administration have been we're being force-fed their testimony, and I guess I wanted to focus in on, in particular, on a guy named Scott Pruitt, who has been nominated to be to replace the beloved Gina McCarthy at EPA. He would replace her. He is the Attorney General of Oklahoma. And among other nefarious things, has made multiple lawsuits against the EPA, in particular the Clean Power Act, the President's Clean Power Act, Clean Power Plan. And there you go. He is being queued up to be our next EPA administrator. Did you see anything about Mr. Scott Pruitt, DR? Tell me, what's your level of revulsion?
Yes, Pruitt was indeed one of the three stooges who was who had the confirmation hearings. The others being Interior Secretary nominee Ryan Zinke and Energy Secretary nominee former Texas Governor Rick Oops Perry.
And the dancing Rick.
And the interesting thing of all three is that all three of them used remarkably similar language, where they acknowledged that climate change was not a hoax, but said it was basically sort of obscure how much was natural and how much was human caused, to where it was clearly obvious that they had been coached to say that. My personal theory is that the person who did the coaching was Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway, who, if you know anything about her track record, she has a long, long history of taking very, very conservative political figures and trying to make them sound moderate. So you could just see the fingerprints of Kellyanne Conway, in my opinion, all over the remarks from
all three of those guys,
as well as Zinke and Perry.
Well, I, from what I saw, of course, I did not watch the entire thing, but certainly Scott Pruitt took some heat from our own Senator Markey and from Bernie Sanders and basically, at one point, Pruitt said it didn't matter what he thought, what his personal beliefs were about climate change, whether or not he accepted climate change science. I think it's a bad thing. But I guess the thing that I wanted to sort of raise and bring into the conversation is the following concept, and it particularly keys around Mr. Pruitt, but there you go. Mr. Pruitt, one of the basis for a lot of the lawsuits that Scott Pruitt has brought against the EPA is his belief that the states are the proper venue, shall we say, the proper location for regulation of the environment, and that the 10th Amendment guarantees the states the rights to do these things, right? The what's not reserved to the federal government is left to the states, kind of thing, that the states, the EPA is overreaching and infringing on states' rights to regulate the environment. That has now, since he now will become head of the EPA, there is a perverse reversal of that whole idea. Because one of the things we've been touting, I think, in the climate movement in general, has been that the states will now become the engine of clean energy work across the country. And Scott Pruitt can try and spike that, along with a lot of other stuff the federal government can do. But tell me, DR, how might Scott Pruitt's newfound federalism, after he gets out of Oklahoma, how might that play with something like California's right to regulate its own automobile industry?
Well, first we should acknowledge that Scott Pruitt's view was the same view that Rick Perry promoted when he ran for president in 2011, the idea that somehow the EPA was in violation of the 10th Amendment. Climate Central and other sources have noted that in his testimony, Scott Pruitt said he was going to, quote unquote, review whether California can continue having stronger auto emission standards than the national average. And there has been a history of sort of right-wing EPA administrators blocking California from having stronger auto emission standards than the national average. During the George W. Bush administration, former EPA administrator Stephen Johnson famously refused to allow California the waiver they need from the federal government to have stronger auto emission standards than the national average.
And let me point out, so people may not be aware, that California back in the early 1970s, because the smog in California was so horrendous, when the Clean Air Act was written, California was given a special license to make more aggressive rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crux of the whole thing. California has a special right to set its own automobile standards, and other states such as Massachusetts follow that. So that's what that's what's at risk, right? Things like that.
Definitely. And as Climate Central noted, California has hired former Attorney General Eric Holder, with the idea being that if Scott Pruitt tries to deny this waiver, Holder will lead a fight in court. But it's very, very interesting to see the idea of situational ethics applying, that when a guy like Pruitt likes states' rights, he's for states' rights, but when states' rights run afoul of his ideological preferences, he's anti-states' rights.
Right. I mean, hypocrisy is a human trait, but it seems to be well settled in amongst these guys. Mm-hmm. I think that so the whole question of whether or not Scott Pruitt at the EPA is going to take these actions, but it turns out that the federal government has a lot of mechanisms to try to stop states from doing things. Mm-hmm. You can pass laws. Now, I read somewhere that in Wyoming, which of course then once you're inside Wyoming, the state of Wyoming can do what it wants, but the state of Wyoming is passing some kind of rule that prohibits utilities from using renewable energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, absurd. And then there are other states that are trying to, at the state level, to outlaw the ability of a locality to ban fracking, right? Mm-hmm.
Ban fracking bans.
The fracking ban kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff from the federal level could be employed. And in fact, I heard this horror story. I haven't seen it again, but I saw it once, that the famous wall that the orange-haired one has talked about to such good effect for his political future. There is a provision in the Homeland Security Act where the president, in case of a national emergency, can override any environmental or regulatory rule to do what he needs to do to protect the country. Mm-hmm. And that could be a mechanism to completely skip any environmental review of a 1,000-mile border wall across the U.S.-Mexico border. And they just build it, and who cares? And that would be... So I guess the reason that I bring it up is, aside from pointing out the delicious hypocrisy of these people that are now coming into office, it's something that climate hawks need to get ready to fight. I mean, it's going to be an interesting case when these people try to insert their conservative ideas into the states from the federal level after arguing for 30 or 40 or maybe, shall we say, 150 years that the states have those rights, right?
Exactly. If you think about it, based on what you had mentioned, he's essentially going to build a wall and let the planet pay for it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So look, before we move away from the confirmation guys, look at your state senators. If they are, particularly if they're Republican, please call them up and tell them to reject all of these half-baked turkeys, right? Mm-hmm. Make your views known, because none of them are good. And the Democrats, assuming the Democrats stay together, although I hear this, the guy from West Virginia, Manchin, is going to vote for this Scott Pruitt thing, right? And that's it. But you need a few Republican senators to vote against these nominees. So if you're in a state where you think you can influence your senator, like in Maine. Anyone listening from Maine, call Susan mm-hmm. Collins and tell her to vote against these guys. Anyway, there mm-hmm. you go. That's one thing. Next big topic that we should touch on, again, having to do with the new era we're living in. New era or error, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Every year, we've all heard of this meeting in Davos, Switzerland, which must be a lovely place. I don't have enough money to go there. Few people do. But every mm-hmm. year in Davos, there is a big meeting of extremely rich people and corporations to discuss what our future should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, amongst various other things, I guess I saw a thing that had Joe Biden there ranting about, ranting, God bless him, but talking about Putin's threat to liberal democracies in Western Europe. Mm-hmm. But I guess the point I want to make is that at that Davos symposium, the head of China got up and basically threw down the gauntlet, saying that if the United States didn't lead, China was going to do green energy anyway, right, mm-hmm. and stick with the climate accord. Tell me the real deal, DR. What happened there?
Yes, Chinese President Xi Jinping, according to Think Progress, declared, quote, "The Paris Agreement is a hard-won achievement. All signatories should stick to it rather than walk away. It is important to protect the environment while pursuing economic and social progress to achieve harmony between man and nature and harmony between man and society." So, unquote. So essentially, the president of China is making it very, very clear that they are going to go all in on clean energy, even if the United States' federal leadership abandons that goal. And we are going to, you know, and it's going to be sort of, you know, history. I guess you could say it's a bit of irony that, you know, a generation ago, you know, Americans were so nervous about Japan beating us in terms of technological advancement. Now it appears that China will beat us in terms of the sort of technological advancement because we're basically from a federal level walking away from the field.
Yeah, I mean,
we're forfeiting clean energy leadership to China, essentially.
Exactly, and it's a heartbreaking thing that, I mean, if you take the perspective of global citizen. Mm-hmm. Right, it's good that China, at least someone is picking up the mantle, right? If China is a communist country, they don't believe mm-hmm. in individual I mean, all that stuff is true, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to hope that they're successful in saving the planet. Really, that's mm-hmm. even if we drop out for, let's say we drop out for 4 years, maybe there'll be time to come back, but they can keep the candle alive. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, the other interesting thing, though, is, you know, the Chinese put some proverbial money, I guess they'd be renminbi or something, behind mm-hmm. what all their talk, and they're closing down or not building 100 coal plants or so that they were planning mm-hmm. on doing. Do you see that?
Yes, and they're planning to invest, I believe, several billion dollars in clean energy as well.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
China, obviously, you know, it's very interesting to see China potentially go from currently the world's biggest emitter to the world's leader in clean energy, essentially.
It's a remarkable thing. I guess the other thing to note is that while much beloved President Obama is heading out the door, one of the last things he's done is to take another $500 million mm-hmm. of the promised $3 billion, but so that's what, 1/6, 15% of the total, but he put mm-hmm. another $500 million into the Green Development Fund, which is mm-hmm. part of the Paris Accord, right? So part of the Paris Accord was to provide money to less developed countries so they could upgrade their energy. There were a lot of promises made. Mm-hmm. That's called the Green Development Fund in the U.S., President Obama dropped in another $500 million, mm-hmm. And the new guy, the orange-headed guy, can't do anything about it. It's gone, mm-hmm. right? So good for him.
Exactly. Although it should be noted that there was a push by some activists for Obama to sort of pledge the entirety of mm-hmm. the remaining scheduled money. Of course, Trump has already said that he plans to cancel all future payments. There was a report on thehill.com that essentially that Trump's minions are proposing a budget that's essentially going to eviscerate any sort of money going to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, to any sort of funding of the Paris Climate Agreement, to basically gut clean energy, to just to basically tear it up root and branch, essentially. And again, to see again, as we go back, all these other countries leading while the United States basically decides to walk off the field.
Well, at the federal level, we in Massachusetts and here on the ground amongst the grassroots are not walking anywhere. But we'll see how. So I guess the so we're looking, DR, we're closing in on the end of our time. I want to remind folks that a couple things. One is that this weekend, the 21st of January, the day after we get a new president, there will be a rather large protest on the Boston Common. It'll be gathering down near the corner of, Beacon Street and Charles Street, about halfway through the Common. If you want, please sign up on the Eventbrite link. I'll put it in the show notes. You can say that you're going to be marching with MCAN. Send Carol Oldham an email saying that you'll be there. Again, her email will be in the notes. And then you come by the MCAN office, which is just near the State House, and get yourself a hot cup of coffee that morning, right? Mm-hmm. So and then on the 25th of January, the following Tuesday, there will be a lobbying day in collaboration with the Massachusetts Power Forward, where you, if you're a citizen of Massachusetts, you can go lobby your congressman directly. We've talked about it in past shows. It's a blast. You should try it. It'll be like from 10 to 2. You shouldn't be intimidated. They will help you with every step of the way. So do that. Of course, keep in mind that on April 29th, down the road a little ways, word has it there's going to be a big march down in Washington, D.C. So put your head on for that, right?
Definitely.
So, DR, I guess we'll have to leave it there. There'll be links to the things we talked about in the show notes at massclimateaction.org/blog. Please check us out. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. I should just mention in passing, if you go to the Massachusetts Climate Action Network website at massclimateaction.org, there's a donate button there. Please donate money to keep MCAN working in communities across the state of Massachusetts. Of course, you can listen to this show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, or any of a number of other podcast directories. Of course, you can find us on iTunes. Just search for Massachusetts Climate Action under the podcast link. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. Thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.